You know what it is. You know where you are. It's the Sports Card Strategy Show. I'm Paul Hickey with NoOffseason.com. Good morning, everybody. I am here with Kendall, the lefty McKee. I'm not even really sure if he's a lefty. And also Chad Gill. Chad is joining us for the entire show because not only has he been bringing it from a strategy standpoint, but he has the greatest PSA story I have ever heard. So stay tuned for that up here in a minute. Lefty, what's up with you, man? How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Why do they call you Lefty? You like Phil Mickelson? What's the deal on that?
Man, I started kicking field goals with my left foot one day, and then there it goes.
Okay. Short version. I love it. All right, everybody. Want to give a shout out to Graybo's Sports Cards, a hobby shop located in Richmond, Virginia. Graybo's opened in February 2023. They're owned by Duke, Denny One Time, the Duke of Southern Sports Cards, Dodson, Ryan Fitz, Gray Burnett. The three owners of Graybo's collected cards as kids, fell out of the hobby for a few years, and got back in 2021. They, of course, put their heads together and decided to create the ultimate experience for sports cards collectors and investors in the Arts District of Richmond, Virginia. Graybo's sells wax, raw singles, and graded singles. You can check them out at graybos.co or on IG at graybos_cards. And of course, I will be there on Saturday, January 16th, the day before Father's Day. We're going to do a big event, Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell live and in person. Come check it out. If you're around the Richmond, Virginia area, or you're just passing through, check out Graybos. They're open Monday through Saturday. And tell them Paul Hickey from the Sports Card Strategy Show sent you. Get our premium content free for a year at nooffseason.com. Email paul at nooffseason.com to find out how. Guys, Kendall, you know, we talked about this yesterday offline a little bit. Don't want to spend too much time on it, but we're going to revamp the website a little bit. We're going to make it a little bit more valuable. In the hobby, things change. We talk about that on the show all the time. Things change. Ways you make money in the hobby change all the time. That's why we have Lefty, that's why we bring in Chad. People are doing different things. Basically, what we're going to do at nooffseason.com is improve the premium offering, make it more valuable, make it more relevant, and that's all I'm going to say for today. But yeah, Lefty, you got anything to add to that?
No, I mean, we focus on continuous improvement. You know, I mean, I think we've been doing this for a good period of time. We have a successful product, but we also want to continually make it better for you guys. And this isn't just something that we want to set it and forget it type thing. We're trying to continually make this a little bit better every time. So I don't know. We're two people that don't want to just do things status quo.
Yeah. You can't just set it and forget.
Three people, like you said. You know, Dr. Crack over here.
Chad's been contributing a lot. Yeah. So we've got Evan Bell in the comments. He's been contributing. Southern Soccer Idiot in the comments. What's up? He has not been contributing, but that's okay. We love you anyway. We don't expect all of our audience members to contribute to the website. That's not what we're saying. SSI is a great audience member, as are all of you. But Evan Bell, Michael Miller, we've had Ryan Painter, Ryan Hoffman. We've had a new guy, Joseph Torviso, soccer guy. A lot of great contributions to the website. Morgan Thomes or Tomes, not sure how to pronounce his name. Of course, Kendall McKee and the doctor of sports cards. Kendall calls him Dr. Crack, Chad Gill. All right. Good stuff. L of the week. Lefty, let you go first here on the L of the week. What do you got, man?
Dude, I have had a gazillion things go on this week. My L of the week is that I haven't been able to focus on sports cards very much.
Boo.
Yeah, boo.
Horrible week. Life getting in the way of sports cards. That sucks.
We did break, though. So, as you can see, Fulfillment Center.
Ah.
Some of these are Chad's. Chad bought into a break this week.
Chad, way to buy into just breaks. Chad's such a good guy, just supporting everybody. I love it. All right, so L of the week for Lefty hasn't gotten into sports cards as much as he likes to, although Just Breaks is on and popping over there, so that's good. I'm going to give a quick L of the week. I saved this one for a while, and then the irony is that it also became part of my win of the week. It just happens to be that every once in a while. But the L of the week is we've talked about unpaid for sales, right? So I don't mean to repeat myself, but for those of you new audience members, welcome aboard. Sports Card Strategy Show, unpaid for sales, definitely an L of the week on eBay. They suck. I had a Giannis play that I made, which you loyal audience members from the last year or so will remember. I like to buy Beckett authenticated autos and see if they make sense to cross over to PSA within the slab, though. So it's like a $50 grading fee. Keep it in the slab because you need the Beckett authentication when you send it into PSA. Grade the card and the auto is essentially the play. So I had this Giannis 2013 in-person signed Prism. The card got a 7. The auto got a 10, which is always a bonus. Anytime you can throw a 10 in a listing, that's a bonus, even though the card's a 7. It's from 2013, so it's understandable, and it's Giannis. Sold for $1,000 the first time a couple weeks ago via auction. It had like 50 to 60 watchers, 20 to 30 bids, sold for $1,000. Buyer didn't pay. Relisted it, sold for $840 the second time, not only 9 bids. Buyer didn't pay for a few days, and I already had the show graphic set up, and then they did pay. So it became part of my win of the week. So I purchased this for $538 on May 16th, 2022. $50 PSA grading, all in $588. $588. Sold for $840 yesterday on May 7th. After fees, $733.39. For those of you not familiar with selling on eBay, this is basically how it goes. Like, sold for $840. After fees, $733.39. So all in, $145.49 profit. Now, guys, like, I kind of know what Chad's thinking. And Lefty, I think you're on board with this as well. While this is a win, what we're trying to do is not tie up $588 for a year to get $145. That's not the best business model. Now, it ended up working, and I'm going to take it as a win. But what we're trying to do is not tie up that much money to make 145, right? Like, that just, ideally, it would be the other way around. It would be put in 145, get out 588, especially if you're going to hold it for a year. That's not always going to be the case, though. I mean, you got to take your wins where you can. I'm going to pass it on over to Lefty for his win here in a second, but because Chad's going to do his win and loss all at once, just like we are. My other win of the week is that I booked my flight and my hotel room for the National. We will be at booth 3216. So what's cool about that booth number, everyone, is that's Magic Johnson's jersey number as the first number. And then the second number is his jersey number divided by 2. So that's how you remember our booth number, 3216. Come check us out. These are photos from last year's National. You see me with Lefty and Chase Krim. You see me with Gary V and Lou Janeu. You see me with the Jordan Poole. That's my biggest win ever, courtesy of Chase Krim. And shout out to Tim Larson, Signs of the Times Collectibles. We are going to do it up. Sports Card Strategy Show, nooffseason.com. Chad, we're going to be cracking slabs. That's Chad's idea. We are going to crack your slabs for free. So you're going to come check us out. You're going to meet Lefty, get his autograph, chest bump Chad, get a selfie with Chad, and we're going to crack your slabs for you. So there you have it, folks. Lefty, what's your win of the week, man?
My win of the week is that, I talked about this, I think, last week or maybe even the week before, but I am making a move to try to do a Dr. Crack move and submit a bunch of cards with a high gem rate into PSA and have them come back. So I have bought a bunch of Spencer Jones Chromes.
Yes.
And then mixed in here actually are some other unique cards from 23 Bowman. For instance, I have Matt Mervis Lunar. It's not like a super high parallel, but Matt Mervis got called up this week. So I think that's super cool for us, especially at no off season for us to have Matt Mervis, called up as we are talking about him. And then cards like a Drew Jones, Bowman spotlight, some things like that. So kind of some low end $15, $20 cards, that are going all to Bowman at the same, going to PSA at the same time. And I'm trying to do the massive numbers play. So we'll see if I can pull off a Dr. Crack here. So
How are your PSA submissions moving along these days? You feel like the speed's pretty good on?
That is a great question. Let me get back to you on that. I have actually not checked because I've gotten in a rhythm of
just buying.
I've gotten to a rhythm of just like the more I check it, then I'm just like, oh Lord, I can't even think about it. So yeah.
All right, we'll come back to you on that when we get back around to who we're buying, who we're selling. So let's pivot on over to Chad, because Chad has what I believe is the greatest PSA story that I've ever heard, and hopefully you guys all feel the same way. But Chad, how you doing, first of all?
Doing great, thanks. I too have been on a buying spree. Since we're doing the Super Collector episode, I've been wondering what I could do to for a show and tell. And when my wife brought in 6 packages for me on Friday, and she's like, what is all this? I'm like, that's sports cards. I thought, hey, I can do a what I'm buying episode for this week. But I've been buying a lot, way too much. Right. I got to start selling.
Sounds good. We'll get to what you're buying here in a second. But first, why don't you tell us the craziest PSA story that any of us will ever hear. And let me preface this by saying the reason why I believe that this is the craziest PSA story that any of us will ever hear is because, Chad, how long have you been submitting cards to PSA? How many years?
About 8.
Okay, 8 years. That's way longer than I would think most of our listeners have been submitting cards to PSA. But let me know in the comments how many years you all have been submitting cards to PSA. So 8 years for Chad. Roughly, how many total cards do you think you've submitted to PSA? Just give us like a guesstimate. This is not a flex. This is just honest question.
50,000.
50,000 cards to PSA. Okay. True or false? Do you or do you not know by name, and they know you by name, a rep at PSA?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So
and they watch our show.
And they watch our show. Shout out to what's your rep's name again? What's her name?
Nanette.
Nanette. What up, Nanette? Thank you so much for all of your support. People at PSA watching the show, we love you. We love PSA.
50,000. Okay. Good.
The show is too early for them to watch it live in California, so they watch it on rerun. But she said her and a few of the graders, along with office personnel, watch it weekly.
I love that.
So thank you. So that's pretty cool.
Thank you for your support, Nanette, and your coworkers at PSA. We may do a special episode that's a live show later on in the day. And then that way, just for you all in California, you can watch live. All right.
50,000?
50,000 cards.
I'm guessing. I do.
In the comments section right now.
Yeah, I send in a PSA submission every other week, and I've been doing that for, I don't know, 4 years now. And every other week I'm sending in anywhere from, you know, 50 to 250 cards.
Sheesh.
All right, so that sets the stage for like the context around this. Isn't just like me who's just sending off like I'm sending off like 20 to 40 cards a month, right? Like that's nowhere near what Chad's been doing for the last 8 years. So SSI has a comment here, and then we'll get to Chad's story, because we like to take comments on the fly here. He says, I think PSA has gotten a bit overwhelmed again. Not long ago, I had a couple bulk submissions come back in under 2 months. Now I have 2 that I've been waiting almost 5 months to return to me. Chad's story potentially could shed a little bit of light on that, but we don't know. All right, Chad, take it away, man. It's all you.
All right. So in an episode, I think one of the first times I was on talking about cracking slabs, one of the questions that came up was, have I ever cracked anything other than SGC or Beckett or even HGA, I think came up. But I had mentioned that the L of the week was I had sent in a bunch of the GMA 10 slabs, the gem 10s. You can buy them relatively reasonable. Oops, my light goes off. I have a motion light here. I bought a Kevin Durant orange. They have the tops, the white border, the orange border, the black border, the gold border. I bought the orange one because I had the gold, I had the black, I had the white. I wanted an orange. My back wall is orange, well, reddish orange. I like orange. And so I wanted one. And I saw one I got it for like $45. And immediately, as soon as I got it, I cracked it to see, is this card worth sending in? And I looked at it. And anytime I crack a slab, I've learned over the years, I take close-up images of the front and the back of the card. So if anything ever happens, I have record of what I sent in. In this case, it paid off. So I couldn't believe that there was no chipping at all on the edges or the corners on this card. The card truly looked to me like I might actually get a PSA 10, which sells for like a ridiculous amount of money, $7,000, or I don't know what they're going for right now. $7,000 to $10,000 is what that card fluctuates at in a PSA 10. And I thought, worst case scenario, I'm getting a 9. There is no doubt in my mind I'm getting a 9. It was $50 to grade back in September. I sent it in. It took me 2 months to get the card back. The card comes back unable to grade, trimmed.
Oof.
Devastated. Like, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So now it's not in a slab. I can't resell the card with a conscience. I could be one of those types of people, put it on eBay. And I thought, you know what? Sometimes people make mistakes. So I don't have the dimensions for what a card is supposed to be, other than, you know, what they put on the penny sleeves, you know, the sizing of the card. I don't have to the, you know, to the 100,000th of what these cards are supposed to be. So I have a white bordered one that was not graded. I held it up and I'm comparing it going, geez, this thing sure looks like the right size to me. I'm going to contact PSA and find out what's going on. In the meantime, I send the card back in to have it regraded. Before I get any response from anybody at PSA, the card comes back a PSA 8. So I send it in, it's trimmed, they won't grade it. It comes back an 8. Now, when I get it back an 8, I look at it under magnification and I can see the reason it got an 8 is there's chipping all around the edges of this card. I'm like, this isn't my card. There is absolutely no way that this is my card. Somebody switched my card because that card was so nice. Somebody switched my card. So I reach out. For those that have problems at PSA, you would start by going to customerservice@psa.com for an email. I just happen to have Nanette's email. So I email my girl Nanette and I said, what can I do about this? And she said, mail the card back. I'm going to send you a submission form for the sticker to put on the side of the box so that it comes directly to my team here. And I'll see what I can do for you. This is October. I hear nothing in December, November, January, nothing. And I'm thinking, all right, my PSA 8 Durant is gone. It's just gone, right? So finally, I reach out to Nanette and I'm like, hey, it's a $50 card. I really could care less at this point. I don't expect PSA to do anything at all because I've heard PSA's customer service isn't good, right? We've all heard that. Well, I got to give Nanette and PSA major kudos because their customer service on this one blew my mind. So here's what she tells me. She tells me that in the research, they find that they believe that the card was damaged by PSA when they cracked it out of their PSA 9 slab. And I went, huh? It turns out that in quality 2, we've all wondered what QA2 is. They have so many new graders that their top grader on vintage cards like this goes through in QA2 and he puts his stamp of approval on the final grades. So he was going through this. He looks at it in QA2 and he decides that the card has been trimmed. Like, so the first grader that looked at it, which happened to be this guy that's doing the QA2 checks, he's the actual grader that said it was too short to begin with. He's doing the final check, and he determines that it's, once again, it's not gradable. So they crack it out of the PSA 9 slab. And then they send it back to me. This was the first time. So this is how I got it back the first time as trimmed, right? Now it's going through the slab. It's a PSA 8. They okay it. So when I send it back, the reason that it was, the guy said that it was 1/100,000th of an inch too short. But after doing research, they determined that all of the orange cards are 1/100,000th of an inch too short. So they made the mistake, and the card should have come back to me as a PSA 9. So I'm like, okay, now what, right? So Nanette says they talked to their research team. Oh, and by the way, they investigated with a fraud team. This, I learned this about it as well. They have an FBI agent employed by PSA for situations like this, because I was accusing them that somebody like switched the card, tampered with the card. They have cameras on in the building in every nook and cranny so that nothing can happen without them knowing it. So this was investigated by an FBI agent, which I found like kind of blew my mind. And so what the end result was they were going to send me my PSA 8 card back, so I get to keep it. They're going to refund me my $50 grading fee because they screwed up my card, and they gave me the option. They were going to pay me the value of a PSA 9. So they gave me the option of either sending me a check for the full amount or taking it off my next PSA order. So I said, well, as you can see, I do a lot of PSA grading. Just put it on credit and take it off my next one. But so as it turns out, the PSA 9 sells for around $300 and the grading was $50. So I got a $350 credit, plus I get my PSA 8 back, which with Durant doing well right now is up to about an $80 card. So I'm going to end up walking away. I invested $40 for the card plus the 50 ship grading, which I got back. So I've got $40 invested in this card, which I can sell as a PSA 8, double my money, and I get $350 credit towards the future. The customer service was just unbelievable. Now, it did take 6 months to come to this conclusion. This was not a fast-moving train by any stretch of the imagination, but I was blown away that they could document all this, that they shared that information with me. It's like, who shares that they screwed up and cracked my card and chipped it? She said they could see that they chipped the card under close magnification when they cracked it out of the PSA 9 slab to send it back to me as trimmed. I mean, they could have just said, it is what it is. Here's your PSA 8. Leave us alone now. So I was super impressed with their customer service.
So just to recap before Lefty chimes in, Chad submits the card. What's visible to him is that it's first, it comes back as ungradable, correct?
Yes.
Like trimmed, right? So he's like, oh, gem grading again, trimmed. Like that's kind of his first thought. But since he documented it, took pictures, he says, wait a minute, this isn't right, right?
Right.
And then you go back and submit it again. And then when you submit it again, is that when it came back an 8?
That's when it came back an 8.
So now you're like, wait a minute, it's not trimmed because they obviously graded it an 8. What the heck happened between them saying it's trimmed, ungradable, and an 8, right? And then that's when you found out originally they graded it a 9, but then when it got to QA2, the senior grader cracked it out of the slab and said, this is trimmed. And then when that happened, that's what chipped the card. And essentially, when you submitted it again, that's why it got an 8. But the irony here is that the senior grader who had him crack it out of the 9 in QA2 was the same guy who said it was trimmed and ungradable the first time around, right?
Yes.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. And when he graded it an eighth the second time, it was because they had did the research and found out that all of the orange cards are 0.001 shorter than the white and the black cards. So it wasn't trimmed. It's a factory issue.
Is this the card?
That is the card.
Yeah. So for everybody listening on Apple and Spotify, this is the 2007 Topps rookie card, Kevin Durant number 2 orange. What I'm showing on my screen is a PSA 8 version of it. But I think you all know the card because there's also the white border and the black border. So Chad's talking about the fact that PSA went back and did the research and found out that the orange border cards only, which are a short print, or an SSP. I don't know what they are. They're one or the other. But either way, they're the only ones out of the three, black, white, orange, that have this size differential. 1/1000th, is that what it is? 1/1000th?
Yeah, 0.001.
So would that show up in a ruler, in any kind of ruler that anyone would use like yourself to pre-grade the card?
I don't know what that looks like on a ruler. That's too small of a variance for me.
Yeah. So I think, you know, to me, you know, we've got some comments in here. We love Mr. Ryan Boreski. He's saying, this is embarrassing for PSA. I'll disagree. I actually think so for them, and Chad already said this, but I agree with Chad. I think that this makes me feel phenomenal about PSA, to be honest with you guys. Like, so Nanette, her team, everyone at PSA, even the senior grader, like the senior grader who sent it back trimmed, who, you know, the only mistake they made was that they didn't know that the orange border was 1/100,000th of a millimeter, whatever. But like, how would you know that unless you then go back and do the research and find it out? So like, to me, they really didn't do anything wrong. They were just doing their jobs. They did a phenomenal job customer service wise to come back around. I think this is exactly what you would want out of a grading company. Obviously it sucks that they chipped Chad's card. It sucks that he didn't get the PSA 9, but Chad, I mean, how do you feel as the customer? Now, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but how do you feel as the customer given the fact that they're giving you the value of the PSA 9 in cash or credit or whatever, and they're giving you or refunding your whatever. I don't know how they're doing that, but they're giving you the value of the PSA 9. They're giving you your PSA 8 back, right? And they're refunding your grading fee.
Yeah. Yeah. So I refunded the grading fee, got the PSA 9, and I get to keep the PSA 8. I've never been more confident in PSA than I am now. I mean, it took 6 months. It really did.
Yeah.
But Nanette and her team at PSA, I mean, hats off. Thank you. That was flat out awesome. I really anticipated PSA, the big gorilla, to say, too bad, so sad, it's an 8, take it, leave it, shove it, get out of here, you know, quit wasting my time. This wasn't a $100,000 card. This is a $300 card. For them to spend the time that they did and to research it and to get back to me, I mean, I think that's amazing customer service.
Yeah, mixed reviews in the comments. Rocky Empire Sports Card says, awesome story. Thank you. Nice to hear positive stories with PSA. Makes you realize what you're paying for. Communication could improve on their end, but 100-fold mistakes happen. Boreski kind of coming back. Goofy blunder. I get it. Like, yeah, we're happy it worked out for the doc for sure. Lefty, what do you think, man? What's your take on all this?
Yeah, it's surprising that they were able to give you this much transparency. First off, not that I'm not saying I don't believe you. I think it's awesome that they were able to, Nanette seems like a champion. Well, let's just put it that way. You know, it seems like, you know, you've done enough for them that they were willing to go above and beyond for you, which is, that is customer service. Like, that's good customer service. Now you would hope that, which is where I'm going with largely with this, is that this is an improvement of what they're going to do going forward. You know, like, I think all of us would say if there's a couple of areas that PSA can improve, it's customer service and transparency and timing. You know, it's just like, which I think we've seen that. I mean, like, you were talking about my orders a second ago. My orders have gone in the 17th of it arrived the 17th of April and then the 4th of May. So I have about 2 weeks apart. One of them is already past the grading stage and into assembly. But I like the way that they have gone into, you can see details now, and they'll give you a first view image of the card's condition as it comes in.
Yep.
So it's just like, that's kind of on the front end by Chad taking pictures of his before they leave the shop. But at the same way, I'm getting pictures now of, I mean, like, I'm getting pictures of mine as soon as they come out into the grading system, I would assume, with PSA. So I think that's really cool to see. It's comforting to know that they're going a little bit further beyond in quality control. And I'll show you a little bit what I'm talking about here. If Paul shares my screen, it shows that my Sophia Smith attacking card, like, this is what it looks like. And then if you scroll down to I think where's another one that here we go. There's some of them that show the entire top loader.
Those look good. I mean, these look way better than the first view image of my Victor Wembanyama Sports Illustrated for Kids cards that I submitted.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, look at this one. It shows the entire Ultra Pro image.
I would think that that's some sort of automated system, Lefty. But that's all. I mean, I totally agree with you. I love that they're doing that. I mean, it's not all roses over here at PSA, but I think that Chad's story is phenomenal. I personally have had a great experience with PSA. My submission, I mean, not necessarily on the grades, but like, that's kind of more my fault than their fault, but like, arrived March 14th, entered March 21st, you know, so 7 days later, 25 card submission. It's already in QA2. It's May 8th. That's not bad. I mean, that's what you would expect, right? So as long as there's no issues in QA2, like Chad's crazy story, I mean, I should have those cards pretty soon. I would think in a couple of weeks. So I know it's going to be different for everybody. I think the takeaway here for me is that it really depends on your cards that you're submitting. The cards that you're submitting are going to dictate. Nanette, let me know if I'm wrong here. You know, let us know if we're wrong. But I just feel like if the card that you're submitting is something that they have to figure things out on, and it's, you know, it's in a submission, like, that could slow down the entire submission. And I think that's what you would want. So, Derek Kunzman, thanks for chiming in here, buddy. Society is quick to smear reviews and hesitant to share a positive. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, I mean, Chad's a positive guy. He's always looking to share the positive. But yeah, that's really what we try to do on our show too. We don't really try to slam anybody. So, all right, so let's get into who we're buying. So I'm curious to see thoughts on what you know from Chad and Lefty on this call. This is a guy that we've talked a lot about on the show. If you know Lefty and I and have listened to us over the last couple of years almost now. And if not, welcome to the show. We're going to talk about Trevor Lawrence. So Trevor Lawrence is a guy that I'm buying, and a couple of reasons. Football cards, you know, we're in May, right? And you know, it's easy to go through the exercise of NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, let's buy basketball and hockey cards, NFL draft, let's buy the Bowman Chrome U blah, blah, blah of the high draft pick. Great. Good for you. Nothing wrong with that per se, other than the fact that you're just probably not going to make any money if you're trying to flip. But if you're trying to make money flipping cards, which is basically what our show and website at nooffseason.com is based on, I think you need to buy football cards now. And I think you need to buy top quarterbacks like Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow. Chad talked about Tua last week. The cards that I'm comfortable buying personally, and I just want to talk real quick about my process, is I have a better track record pre-grading Donruss and Optic cards better than I do any other brand. And I think it's because of the border. I think I can tell the centering better. I also think generally, like, just this is not based on any kind of data analysis, but this is based on my own personal experience. They have a higher gem rate for me. and then Contenders, then Prism, then any other brand, right? And so they also happen to be, here's where I did get into some data analysis. They also happen to be gradable from the aspect that we talk about on this show. We talk about what can you buy raw that has a high upside for PSA 10, but also a floor that's bearable for a PSA 9. So while I'm buying several different kinds of Trevor Lawrence cards right now, the one that I'm buying the most of is his Optic Base Rookie 2021. Because it's around, now it started around $10.50 per card. I will tell you, I've had to pay around $20 to get this card in the last week. It's going up, which I believe is another sign that you should sort of buy it now, because I think I heard Chad say on our show a couple weeks ago, and Lefty, I think, has said this before too, when it's the time to buy the card, say May for football, June for football, and then flip it in August or early September based on the hype spike, which is what I'm going to do. When you start to see the card going up a little bit, that's an indicator that you should buy it, because it's not a because it's a card that people value, right? So the card's continuing to go up a little bit. I'm going to try to buy it as much as I can for around the $15 to $20 raw, all in, including the shipping tax, all that stuff. $19, or it'll actually be, I believe that it'll qualify for the lower grading fee at PSA because it's a 2021 card, I think. Maybe not. Nope, I'm wrong on that. I think it's 2022, 23. So it'll be $19 a card. Because it's selling in a PSA 10 for $128 in May, that should be higher in August. That's another factor here. And then the PSA 9 is selling for $28, which is basically like, I would eat the grading fee if I get a 9, which I've heard Chad say is okay, right? So that's essentially what I'm doing. I'm loading the F up on Trevor Lawrence right now in anticipation of grading the ones that I feel will gem or get a 9, and then flipping all of them, selling all of them in August. What do you guys think, Lefty?
Yeah, I like that play. I think it's similar to what I'm trying to do with Joe Burrow. I already have a pretty significant investment in my eyes in Trevor Lawrence. Not that I wouldn't buy more of Trevor Lawrence, but I wanted to kind of diversify a little bit. But who I'm buying, we talked about it earlier, is Spencer Jones Chromes. I'm trying to do a bulk submission. I'm trying to get a little crafty with the fact that there are only redemption autos for him and Xavier in this 23 product. So I'm taking some of the more desired Chrome cards right now and trying to bulk submit them to see if we can crack a couple tins, come back for 40, 50 bucks a piece, and make a profit. So I'm also honing in on some, I've tapped the tires on some Joe Burrows this week, tried to find a couple of good deals. I've been in contact with Texas Roadshow over some of their Burrows and things like that. And then I kind of am going back and forth about this one, but I've been tapping the tires a little bit on Jude Bellingham, knowing that he's going to have a significant transfer this summer. My brain tells me to go for it, or my heart tells me to go for it, and my brain tells me it's too late. So I've been trying to say, like, okay, if I could find a great deal on a Jude, then let's pull the trigger. But I probably am not going to buy a Jude unless I find an extremely good deal. But those are the cards that I've been looking for this week.
Cool. Chad might have some data on Jude.
Yeah, I submitted Jude as a buy this week. I would guess it comes out today, maybe, Paul.
Yep, it'll be on the website today.
It'll be on today. I don't think you've missed the window on Jude. I think that the window is still wide open. I bought two of them last night that I think have significant growth. I think Jude is a great buy right now. His cool. Prices have dropped so far in the last 6 months. When you look at a 180 day, across the board, he's down 20, 30, 40% in the last 6 months. That tells you where that market can go if he transfers to the right place. I think that there's, there's an opportunity there yet.
What do you think, Lefty? What do you think is going to happen? Like, in real life, like, what do you think is going to happen with Jude? Like, what would be, so if you're, let's say you buy Jude, let's say you check out Chad's piece on the website later today, and you're contemplating which Judes to buy, which ones would you look at? And then what would you be hoping happens in real life with him to maximize the value of that card?
Well, I think worst case scenario is he doesn't move clubs. You know, like, they talk a ton and they just can't figure it out. He ends up re-signing with Dortmund, which, in fact, I think even if that's worst case scenario, of course, there's a lot of other worst case scenarios, but I'm going to say worst case with the good scenarios is that he stays at Dortmund, which even still, I think Dortmund fans would be so excited. I could see his value going up there as well. I think best case scenario, he moves to Real Madrid, which is the team that has the most smoke in the air right now. Vinny Jr., Jude Bellingham, Karim Benzema, you know, like the team is just stacked with good names right now, but they need a little more X factor. You know, they're not the Real Madrid that they had, you know, 10 years ago when they had Benzema, Isco, Ronaldo, Sergio Ramos. You know, they're not that kind of a killer club, even though they're probably one of the best top three teams in the world. And I think they want to return to that. Jude Bellingham being young and electric profiles, big, strong, talented, great on the ball, fast, you know, can shoot from distance. I mean, he's got the whole package that you want. And with him being an English national team as well, he's just going to have a lot of suitors. So I would assume Real Madrid now is where we are going to see him go. But of course, you know, over the past 6 months, I have predicted that he's going to go to Liverpool. And then I predicted that he's going to go to Manchester City. So now I'm at Real Madrid. So, you know, next week he could be playing for FC Cincinnati. So,
there we go.
What I'm saying is, like, you know, all of this is media speculation smoke. And some of the times that smoke is real, and some of that times the smoke is to divert you from another place. And so it wouldn't shock me if we do see a connection coming out of Manchester City or something like that. But Bellingham now is so ridiculously valuable that the smoke is real for only a certain amount of clubs because he's going to be so expensive. So it depends on what Messi goes to, where Messi's market goes. You know, if Messi does end up moving to an Asian club, or if, you know, somewhere else, I could see PSG entering the market. And so anyway, I think Real Madrid is going to be the club that he eventually gets at this summer. But we will see.
Southern Soccer Idiot says Bellingham is a great player, but he has an absurd number of rookie cards. He was in multiple sets, and it's really tough to determine what cards to focus on for investment. That is a phenomenal point. And that's where sort of Chad's analysis on the website comes in that I'll post later today at nooffseason.com. I think it's important because it also, so Borusky is also asking in the comments, is it inadvisable to buy PSA 10s of these guys and flip them in August? He's talking about the quarterbacks that we were referring to a minute ago. I realize margins would be smaller, but profit is a profit. So that's exactly right, Ryan. Like, you know, these two comments and questions go together in my opinion. And the reason is because the reason I'm focusing on Trevor Lawrence raw optic is because that allows me to put in $40 to make 28 at the worst case scenario, like lose 12, or which isn't ideal, but the upside of making, say, 125 to 150 is what I would rather try to do versus buying, say, for example, Ryan. So like I could have bought on my slabs for $190, a Trevor Lawrence Prism Black PSA 10 out of Chronicles 2021 rookie for $190, which is a good offer. Like it's right at or below comps right now. But my thought there is that I'd be putting in $190 to probably make at the most $225 in August. And so I want to try to make plays where I'm putting in the least amount of money. I'm going to challenge myself to make plays to put in the least amount of money for the highest upside, but still have a floor that's reasonable. And I think like that's where Chad, like that's where Chad's really good at his analysis. And that's kind of what he's doing with the Jude cards on nooffseason.com. Because like if this, like Lefty and I, if this, and things change, right? Like a year ago, Lefty and I were talking about buy the rookie ticket auto because you might not be able to quick flip it at PSA. You might not be able to quick flip like a base card at PSA and make money. Well, now you can. So back a year ago when you couldn't, you had to go higher money in to get like a rookie ticket auto or something like that, or maybe like a Topps Chrome auto of Jude. And then maybe it would have been $350 raw and you could have flipped it after the transfer for $550. But like that was a year ago. And so I think that's kind of why we're pivoting on a lot of the stuff we're doing just to make things a little bit more relevant for what's happening right now. But to me, those go together. And thank you guys for the questions. Keep them coming, audience. All right. In terms of who we're selling, this may be a Captain Obvious call for me, but Joel Embiid, you know, he wins the MVP and his market's up about 8% over the last 90 days. You could toggle this on Market Movers and you could find his market's down or whatever. That's fine. But the way I think about this is like, if you were looking to quick flip Joel Embiid in general 90 days ago in anticipation of this run, remind yourself that that's what you were trying to do and sell it now for whatever you get. And hopefully it's a win, but if it's a loss, it's probably going to be the closest thing you would have to a win because who knows what's, I mean, the Sixers tied up the series. That's great. That's another reason to sell though, because Embiid could get hurt tomorrow. And he's the MVP. I mean, he's at a crescendo point. Could he go on and lead the Sixers to win the championship? For Borowski's sake, who's a Sixers fan, I hope he does. But look, you know, now's the time to sell. But agree, disagree, and Lefty, who are you selling?
Yeah, I think I also have some maxis listed, which if Borowski or somebody here on the show wants to reach out to me, I would give a better deal to our audience than I would on just to anybody. But I do have a couple of those for sale. I am also, I said I'm buying Spencer Jones, but I'm selling also Spencer Jones because I'm prepping it for sale, I guess, if that makes sense. And then I'm also selling Sokka and Vinny Jr. As well right now because I know that their seasons are coming to an end. And I'm listing them. I guess I'm not actively selling them yet, but I am listing them. So,
cool. Chad, anyone that you're buying or selling, anything you want to add to this segment before we get to the audience Q&A?
Yeah, as far as buying, I'm buying Sal Frelick right now. The Brewers outfield keeps taking hits with injuries. Garrett Mitchell's down for the year. Frelick was out with a wrist injury, and he was just smashing the ball in spring training and at AAA before he hurt his hand. He is the future outfielder for the Brewers. He's going to be there for a long time, and his cards are down considerably. I'm going to have a show and tell of things that I bought, but a lot of what I bought isn't, I'm not going to have it for this week's episode yet because I bought heavy again over the weekend, but, I bought two, Bowman Chrome First Auto PSA 10s of Frelick over the weekend, for a fraction of what they were 30 days ago. So that's a buy. I'm selling Jimmy Buckets. Jimmy Buckets right now is up tremendously. And for Butler, I don't think he could, if he made it to the finals, I don't think his cards would be higher than knocking out Giannis in the number one seed after the first round. Whether they beat the Knicks or not is irrelevant. I think his cards are about hitting the peak right now. So I am selling Jimmy Buckets.
Chad, let me give you another Brewer that I've been watching recently is Tyler Black. He's a second, third baseman. His WRC plus is 171 at AA, so he's due for at least a promotion. But he's gone to a different level every year in the minor leagues, which is great progression to see. He's got under a 17% K rate, which is about half of the warning sign of 30%. He's got five nukes, and it comes in at 276 in terms of an average. Great on-base percentage and slugging percentage. That WRC plus being close to 200 is breathtaking. And when he's walking at 22%, Tyler Black is another person that Brewers minor leaguer that I'm honing in on.
Agreed. I've got two of his Bowman Chrome first autos at PSA right now for my last submission. So I totally agree. Black is somebody to watch.
I love having two guys that are way smarter than me at Sports Card Investing on the show. Great stuff, guys. All right, on to the audience Q&A. Paul Schmitz, Buckeye Dill, loyal subscriber to the website. Appreciate you, Paul, and you have a great first name. What loop to purchase to pre-grade cards? So I sent Paul an email back that was referencing some content I put out at the Mint Collective. So if you go to nooffseason.com/mint-collective, you'll see a video by the head CSG grader, or one of the head CSG graders, Andy Brom or Broom. Andy did a great presentation with a colleague of his at Mint Collective, and he advises on what kind of loop to buy. But I don't know if Chad, do you have a loop? Do you have anything to add to this? What loop to purchase to pre-grade cards? Do you use one, Chad? Lefty, do you use one?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. What, like, can you, do you happen to know off the top of your head, like, what the specs of that loop are for the audience?
Well, I don't know if they still have them on their website or not, but I bought it off of Sports Card Investor SCI website. It is a little handheld. It's a 10 times X magnifier with a light. Kind of looks like Lefty's reaching for one. I think he's going to show you there it is. That is the exact tool that I have.
Lefty, where'd you get yours?
Well, I think I bought it off eBay, but I got the link from SI.
Okay. Sports Card Investor.
About $20.
Cool. Yeah, there you go, Paul.
And another thing that I use is that little clear layover to measuring centering as well.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, Chad, if you use that or not.
Yeah, I got one of those off of eBay. I think they're like $7. That's great for centering. If they have borders, these cards without borders are really hard to determine.
Even know what the centering is, right?
Yeah, but anything with a border, what the clear layover that Lefty's talking about, is a very good tool, and it's so cheap. I mean, $6-$7 on eBay. You just lay it right over the card, and it'll tell you where the centering is.
Rocky Empire Sports Cards is bringing it strong in the comments today. We appreciate you. He says that video from the Mint Collective was very helpful. I have the exact one from Amazon and came to the same conclusion after listening. So thanks, Rocky Empire. Appreciate you jumping into the comments. And yeah, everybody, this is great info. It's exactly why I wanted to answer it on the show as well. So thanks, Lefty and Chad, for that. Buckeye Dill Paul Schmitz came back and said he's also working on Chad's Anthony Volpe play. Summary based on Professor Chad's advice. He's purchased 8 2020 Bowman Chrome Anthony Volpe cards for 16, 20, 17, 15, 17, 18, 20, and $16. Average cost is $17.50, including shipping. His next step will be to submit these to PSA as part of the bulk submission with an additional 12 cards to meet the 20 card minimum. Based on Chad's grading results estimate, I'm hoping to get back 5 PSA 10s, 2 PSA 9s, and 1 PSA 8, and then sell them all on eBay. Maybe keep 1 PSA 10 if I can realize a profit with the other 7 sales. This will take a few months to complete the entire process, and I will be sure to provide a summary on grading and sales results. Fingers crossed, as I will have about $300 tied up in the cost, grading, and shipping of these 8 cards. Thanks again for the solid information, and I look forward to receiving some other solid advice. You will receive more solid advice, Paul, and that's phenomenal. We love that you're doing that. I tried to do that too, and I can only get like 1 Volpe card for the price that Chad was throwing out there, and I decided to let other people have the rest of them, but I'll submit my Volpe in a bulk submission as well. But that's great work, Paul. What do you think, Chad? Pretty good?
I think that's great. He should do real well with that. All he needs is 3 PSA 10s to pay for his entire lot. Now the other five cards are going to be profit.
Love it. All right. Up next, 2008 Upper Deck Gaudi Sports Royalty, Kobe Bryant, number 307, black back out of 34. I don't know if this is actually out of 34, but Wes Barnett, thanks for the question. Love the show. Great listen on my way to work. Was wondering if you guys could help me value this card as I can't really find any comps in this variation. 2008, I already read the card. Upper Deck Gaudi Sports Royalty, Kobe Bryant, 307, black back, found it in my box from the storage unit while moving. Thanks again for all you guys do. Keep up the good work. So I found three comps of what I think is this card, although it may not be, but looking at Wes's photos that he submitted, it looked like the exact same card. So I have photos of Wes's card. I checked the photos of these cards on eBay, these comps. It looked like the same card. One sold on March 22nd for $55.24. That was full price or best offer. That's an interesting, you know what? Maybe the 24 cents is like a nod to Kobe's jersey number, but that's an interesting like listing, right? But I kind of like that. Lefty's nodding his head for those of you who can't see Lefty right now. But another two sold for considerably less. I didn't look these up on 130 point, but one sold for less than $35 and another sold for less than $14. Could be based on condition. Could be that I have the wrong card, but I think this is probably the ballpark you're looking at, Wes. I don't know, Lefty or Chad, if you guys know anything off the top of your head regarding this card, which is why I pulled up the data for Wes. But are you familiar with these? It looks like a smaller card.
Also. Yeah, it's a mini.
Yeah,
it's a mini card. If I'm not mistaken, they come in the standard back, and then they have a blue, a red, and a black back on them, if I'm not mistaken. The black is the hardest of the four to get, so it should be the most valuable. That one that sold for $50, that sounds like, well, that was our best offer, so you don't know what it sold for.
Well, the 55 sold for the full price.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on that, but I would guess that is probably in raw condition, $25, $30 card-ish.
Yeah, so Undertow Flyco, I think this is probably Wes chiming in here. He says, thanks, I found those, but it is a mini and it is numbered 34. Okay, so that is Wes, I think. Thanks, Wes, for the additional commentary and for chiming in live. Because I said I would answer this on the show. So it seems like maybe this SP that sold for $55.24 is not the card Wes has. So maybe I would look to maybe list it for, I mean, what would you guys do then? I would maybe look to list it for like $150.
I mean, $150 would be a great flip.
Or more. I don't know.
I've never seen one of those numbered. I've seen the red, the black, and the standard, the blue. I've never seen one numbered, so that might be something. That might be a pretty special card.
Listed for like $1,500 or best offer.
If it's me, Kobe people will know what that card is. The true Kobe investor, I list it for $1 and take my chances and let that bad boy run.
All right, dollar auction. There you go, Wes. Dollar auction, but make sure you take good photos and specify the fact that that is what that card is, right? Utilize like every photo space in the eBay listing. I think you get like 8 or 10. I don't know, but take like close up photos of where it is numbered, you know, just to make sure that people that are bidding on that auction definitely can see that that's what that is. Yes, you did send me photos in the email. I thought I had them in the slide. So I apologize, but I couldn't see where it was numbered. Maybe that's just me. But we believe you. We believe you. It's numbered, and it sounds like the guys have good advice here for you, Wes. So hopefully that helps. Let us know. Keep us updated on how that goes. And if you're nervous about the $1 auction, just list it like $1,500. Buy it now or best offer or something. You know, and you know you'll get offers, or if it's you'll find $1,500 in your storage unit. So. Either way, I think would be a win. But Todd Bellamy up next. Todd, I think, might be in the comments as well. I just saw somebody in the comments say, yeah, here he is. Todd, what up? Thanks. This is great timing. Look at this. 2021 Topps Chrome Platinum Baseball. Huge fan of your guys' baseball content. Lefty, shout out there. Just started collecting and jumped into the 21 Topps Chrome Platinum. I did my research and knew it was a huge set and that it would be huge, a huge undertaking. My question is, do you guys think it will hold any value? I still chase the Mantle and have had the red, yellow 70th anniversary and red Atomic of Trout graded. I just don't seem to feel this set is very popular. Thanks for the time and any help with this. This is a Lefty McKee special here, but I believe these are the cards that Todd is referencing. Mantle last sold for, well, the last sale I could find on eBay, February 26th, $128.19 on 19 bids. It's like the recreation of the famous Mantle that we all know. And then we've got Trout Platinum Anniversary Red Atomic out of 100. PSA 9 sold for 153. And another PSA 9 sold for somewhere less than 250 on a best offer.
What's up, Scott? One of my buddies just dropped into the chat for the first time. But yeah, Todd, this set has surprised me, really. We tried in early last year, maybe the whenever it came out, we tried to break this product and we bought several hobbies and there just was absolutely no interest. I mean, we popped it up there like three or four times and had maybe three claims. And so I was just like, I was confused. And so I said, you know what, T, let's just rip it, you know, and let's just count our losses and try to sell some individuals. And that really didn't even go well. Beautiful cards. I think what's the problem is the checklist is enormous, which is what you referenced. Obviously, the Mantle is the chase here. There are some cards that are selling for individual value here, considering the red sapphire, stuff. I got a Shane Bieber red that I sold for $100 out of that as well. I mean, so cards are able to move, and the beautiful ones are beautiful. Like you know just as well as we do. It's a fun set to collect. Maybe not a great one to invest in, but especially if you're looking for a fun product with a big checklist to complete a set, that's a fun one to get because even now they're still at the retail products. You can find retail products of this in stores.
Lefty, hopefully you guys can still hear me. Hopefully. It's not my internet. Maybe it was.
It was
my internet. Sorry, I cut you off, Lefty. My bad. No,
that's okay. But you can still find this in retail products. So go ahead. If it's something that you enjoy, then I say go for it. In terms of investing, though, there's definitely other products you can look into.
All right. Good stuff. Appreciate that. Thanks for the question, Todd. Sorry to cut Lefty off there. My internet, we had some storms in Tennessee. For those of you in Tennessee, you know what I'm talking about, but I'm back, so we're good. Up next in the audience Q&A, how would you go about selling these? This is from my guy, Tim Larson, new great friend of mine, Signs of the Times Collectibles. He's going to be, he is the host of our booth, the Sports Card Strategy Show booth.
Indomicon Sue?
Yeah, this is Indomicon Sue. So this is a huge Indomicon Sue collection. Tim does a lot of great work in collectibles. Do you mind if I ask you some advice? Looking through some of the cards in the collection, I acquired and found a box of Indomicon Sue rookie cards, including these RPAs. My question is, how would you go about selling these? Just on eBay in their raw state, or would you grade some of the 1 of 1 out of 10, etc.? Thanks in advance. Now, I know you guys can barely see this screen because there's like 20 or so Indomicon Sue rookie, like different. Like Topps Chrome rookie autos, different rookie patch autos, some Panini stuff in here, but beautiful Indomicon Sue collection, some Nebraska Cornhuskers, but mostly Detroit Lions. Okay, so my thought here initially is probably not grade them because if it's a 1 of 1 or an out of 10, my feeling. Based on recent experiences of grading. Oh, my shoes in late. Good morning. Oh, my shoes. Like, I don't know if any of you were worried about Oh, my shoes. Cause he wasn't at the top of the show, but God, our day can go on, without worry. Good to have Hunter Scallion, Oh My Shoes, the original Duder in the house. Okay, sorry, that just interrupted my train of thought on Tim Larson's question. Back to Tim Larson's question, Signs of the Time collectibles. Initial thought, list the one of ones and the out of tens individually on eBay. But before you do that, this is where Lefty and I have differed in the past when we talk about like our strategy on selling sports cards. What I would do is I would spend a few hours on Twitter scouring, and on Instagram, by the way, scouring for people in their profile description, Indomicon Sue PC or Indomicon Sue Collector. I would look at their photos on Instagram. I would see if they're posting about cards that they want or that they have. And I would contact them directly and I would try to work out a deal, you know, comp these, obviously that's the obvious thing is like, try to comp these, try to come up with, if there's no comp for the one of one or the out of 10 or any of these, try to come up with like the nearest, like look for like an Aaron Donald card that's similar. Look for like other top tier defensive linemen over the last decade that are similar. And use those as a starting point for an offer to an Indomicon Sue collector. Secondarily, if anyone's PCing Nebraska Cornhusker Legends or Detroit, or you know, Detroit Lions, right? So he's not a Detroit Lion anymore, but he was the number two overall pick. If that doesn't work for you and you find yourself spending too much time doing that, list them individually on eBay. That's my thought. Right, wrong. What do you guys think, Lefty?
I think don't sell them in a lot like this, like the picture you sent, because everybody can be like, wow, that's a super awesome. Like, people are going to be attracted to it, but then they're just going to be like, wow, that's super cool. Look at all these Indomicon Sue autos. And like, that's where it stops. You won't get any money for the out of tens and one of ones. So if you're going to sell those individually, I would definitely do a little cheeky move and try to find a Sue collector. And otherwise I would just list them individually or maybe in smaller groups.
What I've done, honestly, a couple times when this is before I had sold many cards on eBay and I wasn't getting many looks on my auctions, is I would do a little bit of research first. If it was a guy like Sue, and I would come up with a list of people on Twitter that are the collectors of that person. Mm-hmm. And then I would list the card. And then I would, a few days into the auction, I would DM or tweet at the people that I have this listing. So it wasn't like pressure to make a deal. It was more like, FYI, I saw that you're a collector of this person. I have this listing. Maybe you're interested in, maybe you're not. And, you know, I've also sent out emails to people about listings. So it's, Tim, I know you got a lot of contacts in the hobby. So hopefully some of this is resonating with you. But Chad, do you have anything else to add for this one?
Well, to me, it depends on, is he trying to unload them quickly? If he, you know, looks like he was a big time collector, does he care if it takes, you know, 6 months or a year to get rid of them all? How fast is he trying to get rid of them? If he's not in a hurry, listing them one by one on eBay is probably a way to go. Cause to Lefty's point, when I look at as a person that buys a lot of lots, if I'm buying a lot, I'm looking at stealing it. And if you've got one of ones and five of fives and these low print, having that many of them kind of takes away the rarity factor. Mm-hmm. Because you're, you know, here's all these low SPs in one lot. It kind of detracts from the value a little bit. But if it's me and I'm looking to undo it, what I would do is, first of all, you're going to have a booth at the National. That's real close to Detroit, Michigan, Chicago. I'd take them to the National. Or I would Google the largest card dealer in Detroit and I'd contact them and see what kind of an offer they'd make me. Cause that it's going to take a Detroit fan, or an Indomicon Sue super collector to want to buy all of them. Otherwise, one at a time on eBay is the way to go.
He was a Heisman Trophy candidate at Nebraska. So it, I would definitely not rule out the Nebraska fan base as well. And I think just to recap this, because it is a unique question, I'm glad we spent a little bit of time on it. For Tim, Tim buys collections, as do a lot of our listeners. A lot of our listeners have contacted me directly and said that what they're doing right now is they're buying collections and then they're sorting through them and selling the individual cards. And that's like the most success that people have had recently at making money flipping sports cards. So I think that that's kind of what Tim's doing here. So the reason I say that is because Chad's context is around, what are you trying to do? I think what Tim's trying to do is he's not in a hurry, right? So if I think all of the suggestions we've made are very relevant. Good stuff, guys. Really appreciate it. Up next is Brandon Thompson, loyal website member. Appreciate you, Brandon. Auto and card grade or just card grade? I wanted to throw this to the guys. I have a few 2022 rookie prism and contenders autos that I'm going to have graded at PSA. So these are ultra modern. Is it worth getting the auto and the card graded or just the card? I think I know what the guys are going to say, but I'm going to throw it over to Lefty first.
To me, it depends on if it is pre-authenticated auto or not. If it's an auto that you pull from, like from the Panini product, then I don't think you need to get an auto grade. Just get the card grade.
I think you lose the ability to get the bulk value submission. I think the bulk value submission is only for the card grade at $19. Chad's nodding. Lefty's nodding. Okay, good. Nanette, let us know if we're wrong on that. She'll know.
You can't do a dual grade for those bulk submissions. It's strictly the card grade. And so I learned
money on that then.
I learned early on, and you'll see in the Super Collector episode RPA Giannis that I did. I'm actually thinking about sending it in and getting it re-slabbed without the auto grade on it, because if it doesn't get a 10 on the auto grade, you just degraded the value of that card.
Yep.
I no longer ever ask for an auto grade anymore unless it is an in-person auto. But if it's a factory auto that's authenticated by Panini or Topps, don't spend the money on the auto grade. It's too much risk for me anyways.
Agreed.
Cool. Shoes says that he and his wife, Leslie Alegria, shout out, just ordered the Monopoly boxes, Monopoly Prism. That's interesting. Speaking of Shoes, he's up next. We've got, he sold a Jeremy Sochan patch card recently, and the guy paid $2.25 for the shipping. We've had a lot of conversations about shipping cards on the show, which I really like because I think it's helpful. Would you be mad if you spent $10 on a card but got it in an envelope? I have it properly packed, etc., with two pieces of cardboard, penny sleeve top loader, and a sleeve to go over the top loader. Chad, would you be mad?
No. I don't expect anything coming under, under $20. I expect it to come in plain white envelope. eBay standard envelope.
Yep.
If it's under $20, I expect it to come that way.
Lefty, would you be mad?
If it's something that I'm buying under $20 that I'm PCing and I want to take a risk, I'll ask the seller specifically, hey, can I pay for a padded envelope? But otherwise, that cheap of a card, it is what it is.
Here's the other thing too, Shoes. Just message the guy and just say like, hey, I'm shipping it in this. Unless you have a problem with it, it should be in good shape. And then I think you're covered, right?
Transparency goes a long way.
Yeah. We're getting some love in the comments. Appreciate you guys, Burusky and Rocky Empire Sports Cards. Speaking of Prism Monopoly, though, like I couldn't resist the Paulo Banchero. This is like a blue teal thing, short print variation of the Prism Monopoly. I think it looked pretty good condition. I think I'm going to have this graded. I think I paid $75 for this. So I might have, but it was in an auction. So, I mean, to me, if it's in an auction, why not try it? Wanted to get one.
Rather, it's a good looking card.
Yeah. I saw cases of this going for $600. That seems cheap.
Yeah. Like I figured, let me get into a couple auctions. Let me set my limit. Don't go too crazy. Paolo, I like him. He's got a little Giannis in him, to be honest. He looks like a little Giannis light to me, and I'm obviously a big Giannis guy, so we'll see. I don't know about the Magic, but I think
that is, that's a take, my friend.
That's a hot take. All right, so we got the shoes up next. This is our second-to-last audience question update. This is Homer Sports Cards on IG. I think this is a good one. So, Homer, thanks for the question. It says, love the pod. Big fan of the idea of getting help to crack slabs at the National to submit the PSA. Yes, sir. Booth 3216. Don't forget it. But are you any more nervous to crack vintage slabs from secondary graders? Cough, cough, Chad Gill. Like BCCG or BVG, given the recent chatter on social about the history of trimming, which is not new. I'd say this is a well-worded question. I was planning on cracking these two Jim Browns to reslab that I've had in my PC. Homer Sports Cards on IG. Chad, what do you think of this?
Crack them. I'm not worried about cracking vintage cards. If they're trimmed and it's in a BCCG, I'd rather have it in a PSA authentic than a BCCG anyways. Give me the authentic grade that it's trimmed. I don't care. I want it in the PSA or SGC holder. I don't want it in a BCCG holder.
That's a good call. Thanks, Homer. I mean, if you look at the Jordan 86 Fleer in any of the in PSA authentic, even if it's trimmed or altered, in PSA authentic, SGC A slab for authentic, or the Beckett Authentic Altered, that card goes for over $1,000. So, and that's an 86 card. So you're looking at a Jim Brown. I agree with Chad. Lefty, anything else to add on that one?
I think, yeah, there's no value in the slabs that they're currently in. So it might as well either crack it, have it raw, or do the PSA Authentic.
Lefty defers to Dr. Crack. All right, last up. This is Lonnie Conley. Lonnie Conley, shout out, loyal audience member. He and I have been talking a little bit offline. He sent me this.
That's picture. A car rip. I can see a car rip anywhere. Let's go.
This is a car rip. Yeah. So what would this have come? I mean, this would have come out of a hobby box, right? I mean, this is a Drew Jones green auto.
Sheesh, dude.
I mean, if this is a car rip out of a blaster.
I mean, it could have been out of like Topps is pretty good at mixing stuff around in this product. That's the reason why this product is so obtainable, which is why this product has so much paper and obtainable chromes. But at the same time, like Drew Jones, let me put it to you this way: sell it immediately.
Yeah,
Drew Jones has a bunch of issues. He is not quite as severe. But this year's Khalil Watson for me.
Oh, God. Lefty called that one.
Where they put him in the next set to hype him up intentionally. He's Andrew Jones' son, so he's going to have more hype, and he's got a lot less off-the-field issues than Khalil Watson does. But he's not as good as some of the other players in the draft set. And they've put him in here to be this chase. But at the same time, like if you compare them all, he's further down the list, and he's got a lot of questions.
Lefty like, called the fall of Khalil Watson.
So get out of Drew Jones while he has a market. Now, I'm not saying he is Khalil Watson, but I'm saying he's this year's same guy that you want to get out of.
How do you feel about...
I like this guy.
Okay, good. These are two PSA 9 autos. Base autos, not refractors of Elijah Green. Bottom is nines. Paid maybe about $115 to $120 per. Think I can profit on that? What's the play? Hold till he gets the call up? Hold till he gets called up, till he gets any kind of promotion?
$115 for a nine seems a little bit more than I would want to pay for it, but especially for a Bowman Raw. But yeah, you could definitely make some money on that when he gets called up, but that could be a long time from now.
Yeah, I might be holding those for a while. I like the photo. Like the card. I like the card. Yeah, it's cool. The thing is though, it could be, I don't know if it's a pop out or a home run. At first, I'm like, oh, he hit a home run, and he's like coming down to home plate, and he's like looking up at the sky. But then I look at the card, and I'm like, wait a minute. He could have just popped out and just be messing around. I don't know. But anyway, great show today, guys. Lefty, do you got anything to add before we sign off?
I was able to move an entire set of vintage cards this weekend that I purchased. So it's my first collection that I bought and was able to do like almost a double on. So pretty excited. It was a bunch of 60s baseball and football. So yeah, I'm just going to roll that into another set.
Nice. That's cool. I want to create some more content at nooffseason.com about how to flip entire collections. Chad, you got anything else to add for today's show? Great work today.
No, I'll just do a shameless plug for Lefty here. I don't do a lot of breaking, but I wanted to support Lefty, so I was messaging him. Apparently I got something screwed up with my Twitter account to where Lefty couldn't find me. I still don't know what's going on there, but anyways, I got into a break. I got a crappy team I watched. I didn't get anything worth any value, but go to Wild Card Breaks and spend some money. Lefty was a lot of fun watching him, and a lot of value there listening to them break and listen to the players. And I thoroughly enjoyed my hour of time watching me come up with snake eyes, but it was a good time. And go to Wild Card Breaks and spend some money. It's fun.
Thanks, Chad.
Yeah, @just_breaks, right, on Twitter? Is that right?
Yeah, now. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, everybody. Don't forget to check out the Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell on Thursday. The star of that show, Oh My Shoes, and Chad Gill, and Chad Gill's family have done a great job submitting content to that. We want you to also submit content to that. So just email me at paul@nooffseason.com. Submit your video of what you want to show us and tell us about. I think it's fun. I think it could be the next big thing, and I want you guys to be a part of it. Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell. All right, everybody, this has been episode 81 of the Sports Card Strategy Show. For Lefty McKee and Dr. Crack Chad Gill, I am Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. Everybody, have such a great day. Here's the rock music.
Later.